morning, everybody. Your hyperactive youth pastors here today, ready to welcome everybody here. So I'm just going to put a little extra pep in it today just for that. No, I am hyperactive, but it's okay. The Lord loves hyperactive people. Just ask Mark Lowry. He'll tell you all about it. But I am so glad to have everyone with us here this wonderful Sunday morning. Thank you for coming to worship with us. If you're a guest or visiting for the first time, we would love to have a record of that. There are cards in the pews in front of you. Grab one, drop it in the box on the way out once you put your information down. I have quite a few announcements, and then Mr. Artie has an announcement too when I get done with that. So I'm going to try to keep all that straight in my head without chasing squirrels this morning. So Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, if anybody would be interested in a drive-through trunk or treat on Halloween this year, I want to do something, but I don't want to have just like, say we're going to advertise a drive-through thing and we have maybe two or three cars set up. So I'd like to get as many people as possible who would be interested on the Saturday night of Halloween. If you can come to a brief meeting at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, that would be awesome. It's going to be very brief. We're going to talk about the possibilities, what we can do, and kind of decide which way to go. If you can't and you would be interested in putting up, decorating your trunk or decorating and being out there and passing out candy for that, send me a text or give me a call or shoot me an email. All my information's in the bulletin. That way I can get kind of tally up who would be interested in that. Right after that, 6:30, we have our Bible study in here. Then we're having children once again, praise the Lord. And then I'm having youth. We are having our youth Bible study that's been going on out in the building. So be mindful of that on Wednesday. Thursday, Whitey said there would be a work day. Come out, help out the Baptist men. Friday night, something else I'm personally excited about. And I'm hoping that it doesn't rain all day Thursday and Friday. And we can have it down at the creek. But from sixth grade to 12th grade for the youth, Fireside Friday night down at the creek. We're going to have a 30-minute Bible study and prayer time. And then an hour and a half to hang out. We're going to have s'mores, a bonfire. Somebody was requested I bring hot dogs to roast over the fire. There's going to be potato chips and sodas and waters. So it's just a fun time. Invite, if you know a young person, tell them about it. If you're a young person and you have friends, invite them. We will be socially distancing, but we're going to be outside. And I want to make sure it's safe, but I also want our kids to have an opportunity to fellowship together. This week and next week, I was told by Joy, is the North Carolina Baptist Mission Offering. We're taking that up. Today, all through next Sunday, our goal is $2,000. So be praying, asking the Lord what you might be, He might be calling you to put forth extra to go toward that. The WMU is still collecting toothpaste, and the youth and children were still collecting cases of water that I'm going to, once I get a good haul, I'm going to deliver it to the school. Up here, one of them, because the water fountains are closed and students don't have access to water if they don't bring a water bottle to school. So it's very helpful during this unprecedented times that we're going through. That is all for me, but Mr. Artie here, old preacher man, he has something to talk about. So here he is.
If you guys could put that slide back up for the United Christian Missions. It's about, well, I'll tell you what's going on. David and Nancy are with United Christian Missions. They are actually working with what is called Bibles for the Nations. During this pandemic, where across America, church attendance has dropped a little bit. But in India, they've actually seen the formation of 238 new churches during this time. And out of those 238 churches, over 30,000 people have converted and have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior and have been baptized. But there is a problem with that. And the problem is this, is in that part of Asia, they don't have Bibles. Can you imagine, most of us here have two or three Bibles, some of them sitting at home on a bookshelf that never get touched. But there, they don't even have Bibles. So what they are doing is they are trying to get 35,000 Bibles in their language so that every single one of those new converts can have their very own Bible in their language. The cost of Bible is $5. And so I am asking you as Crestview Baptist Church, if you could please help spread the word of God by giving enough money to help them buy these Bibles to send to these new Christians so that they will have their own Bible in their own language. If you want to do that, you can see David or Nancy. You could give the church a check made out to United Christian Missions, and we will get that to them. Or you can visit their website and give online as well at unitedchristianmissions.org, correct? So if you have any questions about that, please see David and Nancy, but I urge you, this is a simple way that we can help spread the word of God to those that desperately need it. And I guarantee you, as what happens in most Asian countries, one Bible does not just stay with one person. In some cases, they actually cut that Bible up into many different pieces and they spread it around and share the word of God with many more people. So this is something that will have repercussions that you don't even know about. So prayerfully consider giving to them for this purpose. Chad, you're done with announcements? Okay, we're going to go ahead and go into our time of prayer. And as we started last week, I'm going to ask you also if anybody is interested in coming to the altar during this time, you're more than welcome to come and pray. We are going to specifically pray today, not only for God to bless our time here as in our service, but also to give us wisdom and following Him and His choice in the upcoming election and praying for our country because we desperately need it. So at this time, if you'd please join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before You once again. And we humbly kneel before Your throne. And dear Lord, many of us here have heavy hearts. Many of us here have frustrations and fears that we go through life with. But dear Lord, just for this short time, I ask that You allow us to put all of that aside. That Your Spirit comes and moves among us and keeps us focused on what is truly important. And dear Lord, just for this short time, allow us to put all our attention on You. Dear Lord, speak to us today. Allow us to know that we have been in Your presence. But dear Lord, we also at this time ask You to be with the members of Ross Grove this morning as they are meeting. I ask You to be with Marcus and Brittany McGill this morning, dear Lord. They are hurting and have suffered a loss that I cannot imagine. But dear Lord, we thank You for the fact that You are now holding little Jameson in Your arms. Dear Lord, I thank You for the faith of Marcus and Brittany as it was displayed during this entire time that Jameson was in the hospital. But dear Lord, you chose to bring him to you. I ask you to bless them, to fill them with your presence and give them the peace that only you can. Dear Lord, be with the people of Rosgrove as they minister to their pastor and his wife. Surround them all with your love. And dear Lord, I ask you right now that as we quickly approach the time to make decisions in our country, the time of election, that, dear Lord, for once that we would put aside what we want, put aside our likes and dislikes, put aside our feelings, and that we would all trust you to guide us, that you would have your way with this election, dear Lord, that you would have this way in us so that you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. And dear Lord, I ask you to be with the leaders that we have in our country, in our state, our county, and our cities. Dear Lord, you tell us that you've allowed those in power to be in power, that you cause kingdoms to rise and fall. And dear Lord, we know that you allow things to happen sometimes. It's not because you want them to happen, because you allow them to happen. And even though we may not understand or like or even agree with, dear Lord, that doesn't matter. But Father, we ask you that you just intervene. We ask you to heal our land, dear Lord. We ask you to heal our country. Dear Lord, we ask that you take our brokenness and put us back together. And dear Lord, we ask that you move among your people today, not only in this church as we gather, but in all churches across the world as they gather to worship your name, that your spirit move among your people, that you open our hearts and you open our ears, dear Lord, so that we will not just hear the words, but we will be doers of the word, that we will be obedient, and that we will show the world that we love each other, and that we will show the world that you have sent us, and you will show the world that you are alive and well, and you are the power to change lives. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and praise for everything. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
There's nothing that makes a visitor any more nervous than to point them out. But I would like for us to welcome this morning. Our personnel committee has met and brought to us to play for us this morning on the piano, Miss Lisa Hamby. And so she's playing for us, and I would love for you to make her feel welcomed during and after the service this morning. Our call to worship is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And yesterday, our men had their first breakfast since the pandemic. And it was such a sweet thing to happen. There was one time I looked out, and I think it was Larry Ledbetter. I said, just look at this. Just look out there. We had more people come together and to work than I think ever in the history of our breakfasts. And it was just a sweet time. It brought everyone together, and it made us feel a little normal. And so thank you to all those that came and worked and came and supported yesterday. So just keep this in mind. It worked, and we'll be doing it again next month. So it was a wonderful time of fellowship. So that's just something you feel when you're in God's presence, when you're with God's people. So let us stand and turn to our hymns 333, and we will sing the first and the third verse, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessed peace, what a peace divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Thank you.
Huh? Hey, guys. It's me again. I'm glad to be up here, and I'm excited to be in God's house today. I got a question. If I were to tell everybody to load up in the church van, now you're not going to get to leave Artie's sermon. Don't get excited. It's okay. If I were to tell everybody, I'm just kidding, Artie. If I were to tell everybody to load up in the church van, and everybody got in there, and nobody got in the driver's seat, where are we going to go?
Nowhere.
Going to go nowhere, right? Good job. That's my biggest kid in the whole church. Love her to death. So, no, we're not going to go nowhere. So, is it going to do us any good if we got in a car or we got in our life and we didn't put anybody in the driver's seat? No. All right, so we need a driver. Jimbo, come here. So, I've got everybody loaded up, ready to go on a trip. I give Jimbo my key and say, get in there and drive. Who's staying in the car? Nobody's staying in the car? Oh, I'm sorry, Jimbo. Okay. All right, thank you. We're going to go out in a minute. Nobody was going to stay in the car with Jimbo. Why? Because we need somebody in the driver's seat who knows, who's experienced, who knows what they're doing. Sorry, Jimbo. I know you're not. So, I don't know what he said, but hey, I'll hear all about it in a minute, but I just give me a fun opportunity to pick on Jimbo. Well, sometimes in life we get to a point where we get in this vehicle of life and we are ready to go, and sometimes there's nobody in the driver's seat and we go nowhere, and sometimes we put our own selfish desires and our own selfish wants, the things we want, in the driver's seat. And we might go somewhere, but do we go where we need to go? No, we don't go where we need to go. We have to put God in control of our life everywhere we go. I'm going to share a Bible verse with you this morning out of Romans chapter 8, verses 28. Yes, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." That verse, we look at that, and you might think at first, well, that doesn't have anything to do with that. But we have to know, God has a purpose for us. And if we try to be in control of where we're going, we try to be in control of where our life's going to go, or we're just reckless and we don't put anybody in the driver's seat, we're not going to go where we need to go. We have to remember, kids and adults and teenagers, that God has to be in control of our lives. We're going to talk about it a little more, and we're going to do something special in children's church. As soon as I pray, we're going to line up in the back. So let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the kids and the youth in this church and the people who love and support us. Help us this week, God, to remember, not just this week, but every week, to put you in control. We love you and we praise you, God. Amen.
Good job, choir. I tell you what, they're getting fired up, ain't they? I told them at choir practice Wednesday night, I said, choir, I'm going to tell you, there's something you can are no longer allowed to do. I said, when I'm tore up and I can't even make it through a prayer without crying, I said, you cannot get up there and sing a song like you did last Sunday and expect me to get up and be able to preach and without losing it. They did an incredible job, and they did an incredible job again today. I want to ask you guys a question. This is not a rhetorical question. You can answer it yourself, or you can answer it out loud if you want to. I don't want you to give me a church answer. I don't want a church answer. In other words, I don't want you to tell me what you think I want to hear. I want you to be honest. I want you to answer this question yourselves. What is the most important thing to you? What is it that you give your attention and your time to? What is most important in your life? Do what? Your kids? School? Okay. Now let me ask you a question. As a body of believers, as a congregation, same question. What is most important to us here at Crestview Baptist Church? Really? Do what? Spreading the gospel? Huh? Reaching lost souls? I'm going to step on some toes right now, okay? Worship? Okay, I'm going to step on some toes. What about the building? What about the budget? What about breakfast? What about fellowship? What about youth building? What about the youth program? Sunday school? I want you to understand, none of the things that I just mentioned are bad things. But we have to put everything in perspective. What you guys mentioned about what is personally important to you, none of those are bad things. They're all good things. But we have to put everything into perspective. So today, the title of the sermon is Our First Love. And we're going to look at that. At what the Bible says about our first love. So if you can take your Bible and you can turn to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to look at 7 verses. And I'm going to ask you to stand as I read these. Revelation chapter 2 verses 1 through 7. And here is what John, not John the Baptist, but John the disciple of Christ. Here he's called John the Revelator. This is what he writes. He says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden lampstands says this. Now I'm going to tell you something. Who is that he's talking about right there? Who is speaking? Jesus. This is Jesus Christ. In my Bible, it's red letters. This is Jesus talking, and here is what Jesus says to the church at Ephesus. He says, I know your deeds and your toils and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles. And they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and I have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet these you do not have, or yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for what John records in his book of Revelation. Dear Lord, thank you for what you say to us through these words. Bless the reading of your word. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice how Jesus starts this, and I want you to apply this to our own selves now. The first thing that Jesus says is, he says, I know your deeds. Here again in verses 2 and 3, he says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and that you have put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Look, Jesus looks at his church, not just the church of Ephesus, but all across the world. He looks at those who claim to be Jesus, to be followers of Jesus Christ, his church, his bride, and he knows its condition. It is not a mystery to him of what's going on inside of a church. It is not a mystery to him of what is in the heart of his people. He knows all of it. It is not hidden from him. And he knows the good and he knows the bad. Nothing can be hidden from Jesus. Jesus knows what the church did right. He knew what they were doing and what was done right, what was done with the right motives. He knew that. He knows it even today. Church, he knows what we're doing. He knows the good things that are being accomplished. He knows why we're doing it. He knows our motivation. A lot of times we think that preachers like to get at us. And they're always up there pointing fingers, telling us that we need to change, we need to do this. But I'm going to tell you something. We do a lot of things right. We do a lot of good things. But Jesus goes on and says, but I have this against you. Look at verse 4. He says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. The King James Version uses the word nevertheless, which means despite all that. Jesus starts out by saying, you've done all this stuff great. You do a good job. But despite all that, there is this one thing. Jesus takes into full account all the good the church has done, yet despite all that, he has something against the church. The church has left. Notice what it says. It says the church has left, not lost, their first love. The distinction between leaving and losing is an important one. If you lose something, you have no idea where it is. It could have been done accidentally. But it doesn't say lost, does it? It says left, which means that if you leave something, you know where it is and you purposely made the decision to walk away from it. Ouch. So what is this saying? That this church, and this applies to us today, a lot of churches have made the purposeful decision to walk away from their first love. To leave it and walk away for something new. Something different. We know where to find what we've left. but having chose to leave it creates a much bigger problem. But here's the thing. Even though they chose to leave their first love, everything looked great on the outside. If you read the list of things that this church did great, people would see it today. Say today, you go to a church and everything looks great on the outside. They seem to be doing everything that they should be doing. They're growing. They're active. But what you don't see is what is hidden. And what is hidden is the fact that they are not doing these things because of their first love. Charles Spurgeon writes this. Charles Spurgeon was a great British pastor, and he wrote these words: "A church has no reason for being a church when she has no love within her heart, or when that love grows cold. If you lose love, you lose all." So what is our first love? It is something of first importance. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:16 says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek." The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most powerful thing in the Christian's life. It should be the most important thing in the life of the church. The gospel of Jesus Christ. When we see the gospel today, and I want you guys to think about this. When we talk about the gospel, we see it as a starting point. We see it as what you do. You share what Christ has done with you, and you share the gospel. It is starting new Christians. And that's the way we view it, that it is a starting point. The entryway into Christianity. But the gospel is the Christian life. The gospel is Jesus. The song the choir just sang, the song they sang last week, the song we sang as a congregation, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms," that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is in the person of Jesus. But we see it as being a starting point. But in reality, it is A through Z. It is everything. Paul says, it's Christ and Christ crucified and nothing else. In other words, if you get a hold of that, everything else will fall into place. But it all stems from the gospel. It all stems from the fact that God loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to give up heaven, to leave His throne at His Father's side, to come here to earth, to suffer the life that you live now, to live it guiltless, and yet take the punishment that was destined for us, to be humiliated, to suffer the brutality of the cross for me, and then to rise again. That is the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something, church. That is something that should be the core of every one of our hearts. Not because the pastor said so, but because it's a fact. You remember what it was like to meet your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife for the very first time. And you realized that you were growing in love with them. And that just hearing their voice gave you goosebumps. Holding their hand made your heart skip a beat. That you look at them with those puppy dog eyes and you just, oh. Do you guys remember that? We should have that same feeling toward Jesus every time we hear His name. It should make our heart skip a beat. It should make us melt because we are so in love with Him. Not because we've done anything, because we've not done anything to deserve it, but we love Him because He loved us first. And when we see Him, and we hear Him, and we talk about Him, we should melt, and we should talk about Him like we are so madly, deeply in love with Him. And everything that we do in our church should be stemming from the fact that Jesus loved us first. All of it. J.D. Greer writes in his book, Above All, the gospel is a place we stay and never get tired of. The place we never stop learning, growing, and living. That's why growth in Christ is never about going beyond the gospel, but going deeper into the gospel. I've actually been told one time by a friend of mine, they were not Baptist. And that's okay. But they said they went to the church they went to because they had already gotten saved and they didn't need to hear about the gospel anymore. In fact, J.D. Greer, who wrote this book, Above All, he is also the president of a Southern Baptist convention, he said he was at a conference one time and the speaker that spoke before him actually stood up and said, we need to stop talking about the death of Christ. We know about His death. We need to start talking about His life. Church, I'm telling you, His life wouldn't have meant anything if it hadn't have been for His death. And our faith would be pointless if He hadn't have rose again. But He couldn't rise again until He died first, could He? And it's the purpose of His death that's the most important thing that we can ever talk about. Yes, we need to know about Jesus' life. Yes, we need to know about His teachings. But the whole purpose for Him coming to earth in the first place was for Him to die. To be the perfect sacrificial lamb. And that is something we can never get past. That is something that we can never go beyond. Because it is the first thing. It is our first love. Jesus Christ is our first love. But look what it says here in verse 5. It says, remember that where you have fallen. In verse 5, therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of his place unless you repent. Last week we said it was time for us to repent. I'm telling you the same thing, church. It's time for us to repent. Because in many cases, we have lost our first love. Remember. We need to remember from where we have fallen. This means remember where we used to be in our love for the Lord and for one another. The gospel is not just about loving God. And loving Jesus. The only way we can truly love each other is to love God first. But if we don't love each other, John also writes in his gospel, that Jesus said that by this they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And then repent. This is not a command to feel sorry. A lot of times we think that if we just feel sorry for what we've done, that it'll be okay. But repent is not just feeling sorry. It means to change your direction, to go a different way. It is an urgent appeal for an instant change of attitude and conduct before it's too late. Jesus is saying here, you forgot your first love, but it's not too late. God never pronounced judgment on anybody without giving them a way out. Think about that. You remember the story of Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh, but the Ninevites, oh, they were bad people. Jonah didn't want to have anything to do with them. He thought God should just kill them all and start over. That was his attitude. So when God finally got Jonah's attention, you remember he had to put him in the belly of the fish, and he got his attention. He said, you go preach. Tell them that judgment is coming. Jonah got on board with that. He liked that idea, that he was going to go tell them that God was going to wipe them out. But when they received that message, what did the Ninevites do? They repented and asked for forgiveness, and they changed what they were doing. And so what did God do? God listened to them. And he forgave them. Jonah didn't like that too much and went and pouted underneath a tree. And God had to deal with Jonah. Church, it's not too late. Until that trumpet blows and Jesus comes back, it is not too late. And we need to live our life in that urgency, that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ and we repent and get back to doing what we were doing before. Falling back in love with Jesus Christ and do the first works. This means that we must go back to the basics, to the very first thing we did when you first fell in love with Jesus. These things that we can never grow beyond. One of my favorite commercials is an insurance commercial. I think it was from the Hartford Insurance Company. It was a plane, and there's a football team on that plane going home, and the coach is just chewing them out, telling them when they started practice, they were going to do this, and they were going to do that, and they were going to do this, and they were going to do this. And one of the players said, Coach, didn't we win? He says, yes, but the moment we forget the basics is the moment that we forget that we're a football team. Church, I'm telling you, the moments we forget the basics is the moment that we cease being a church. And the basics is Jesus loves us. And we should take that message to the entire country. Take it to everybody you know because it's urgent. Everybody know who Penn and Teller are? The magicians? Well, Penn is an atheist, a devout atheist. And in an interview at a late night talk show, he shared this quote. He says, I don't understand why my atheist friends get angry when their Christian friends share Jesus with them. In fact, I get angry if they don't. He says, how much must they hate somebody to believe what they believe about Jesus and then not tell me about them, about him? Here is somebody that doesn't even believe that God exists. or claims to, that understand that knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ means that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it should be our first love. A lot of people say, well, there's a lot more in the Bible other than Jesus. Well, let's take a look at that. In Genesis, He is Creator, for all things were made by Him. In Exodus, He is the Deliverer, the Passover Lamb. In Leviticus, He is the Great High Priest, our eternal sacrifice. And in Numbers, Jesus is a trusted guide, the cloud in the daytime and the pillar of fire in the darkness of night. In Deuteronomy, He is the prophet who is greater than Moses. In Joshua, the captain of our salvation, the one who leads us into the promised land. In Judges, He is both judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, He is our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, Kings and Chronicles, He is the prophet of the Lord and the reigning king. In Ezra, He is the one who fulfills His promises. In Nehemiah, He is the rebuilder of the broken and torn down walls in our lives. In Esther, He reveals the providence of God. In Jonah, He is our merciful and full of grace. In Micah, He is the ruler called out of Bethlehem. In Nahum, Jesus is our avenger. In Habakkuk, He is the one who justifies by faith. And in Zephaniah, Jesus is the Lord mighty to save. In Haggai, He is our stronghold in our day of trouble. In Zechariah, He is the one whose feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives as king over the earth. In Malachi, He is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in His wings. In Matthew, He is Messiah and King. In Mark, the Wonder Worker. In Luke, the Son of Man. In John, the Son of God. In Acts, He is our ascended Lord. In Romans, He is our salvation. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, He is the Redeemer and Lord of glory. In Galatians, He is the one who sets us free. In Ephesians, He is our chief cornerstone. In Philippians, He is the God who meets every need. In Colossians, He's the hope of glory. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, He is our soon coming King. In 1 and 2 Timothy, He is the mediator between God and man. In Titus, He is our great God and Savior. In Philemon, He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, He is the blood that washes away my sins. In James, He's the great physician. In 1 and 2 Peter, the chief shepherd. In 1, 2, and 3 John, He is our righteousness, truth, and love. In Jude, He is the Lord coming with 10,000 saints. And in Revelation, He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And then in Philippians, it says this. Look at this verse. Verses 10, 9 through 11. For this reason also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Church, we cannot forget our first love. We cannot forget Jesus. Everything we do, from the breakfast on Saturday morning to the youth events, to the outreach events, to the building, everything that we do should be an example of Jesus' love and should stem us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone we come in contact by everything that we do. We cannot forget that. So many times we get busy doing the ministries, doing the work, that we forget about why we do the work in the first place. And we do the work because Jesus loved us first. We cannot get past that. We need to get back to the basics. If we as a church can get back to the basics and we can fall in love with Jesus once more and love Him more than we love anything else, then church, we will have revival. Church, we will start making differences in our country And church, we will be willing to have those tough conversations because how much must we hate somebody not to want to share Jesus with them? Think about that.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 307, Just As I Am, 307.
Being here this morning. Don't forget the things that we have coming up this week. Don't forget about 6 o'clock Wednesday, those that are interested in helping with a drive-through trunk or treat to meet with Chad at 6 o'clock. Then at 6:30 we have our Bible study and prayer meeting here in the sanctuary, and we'll continue going through the harmony of the gospel accounts. And then Chad will have the youth and children also at 6:30. Again, thank you for being here. Don't forget to be in prayer for the McGill family this week. They're desperately going to need it. And thank you for being here, and may God bless you, and please join me in prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Thank you for this time that we've had to come to worship you. Dear Lord, be with those that are here. Keep us safe as we leave this place, and allow us to go out with the attitude of being on the mission field, so that we may be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we come in contact with this week. And we ask all of this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.